We look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, good morning to you.
Hey, Marty, good morning.
Well, the Bears certainly show they can score.
52-0 at the half in a spine tingler.
I know, but you know, but your story was, you know, very complimentary, and you know, you want to see what they have. But is it okay to just bring these teams in and wallop them?
Not for me. No, I've never liked it. I mean, it does bring a lot of money to those schools. Sonny Dykes told a story about when he was at Louisiana Tech. When they get a big game like that, it would almost keep the program going with the money coming in. So I get that, but to me, I'd like to see Cal open with Texas, Ohio State, and Nebraska. Seriously.
Really? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, all the big schools. Just go head-to-head, SEC, Big Ten, Power Five, just make it just a killer schedule top to bottom.
Yeah, I guess if you lose early, I mean, let's see, who lost? Wisconsin lost. Someone lost on the last play of the game. Who was that? Nebraska lost the last play
of the game. Yeah, Nebraska lost to Boise State on a Hail Mary.
I guess you can come back if you lose games early. I think that's the issue. So why not? I mean, if you lose a game, Florida used to play Miami in the first game, and then they'd have to work their whole way back after that.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody wants to be, you know, 6-0, 7-0. They want to get into that playoff or get the good rankings. So, you know, they're scheduling these cupcake games, but it's not the greatest visuals. I mean, that game yesterday was over in about 5 minutes.
It was a pretty day, though. It looked gorgeous.
It
looked like a nice day. All right, let's get to baseball. What a week is coming up here, and I put it this way. Number one, you've got Bumgarner and Flonde today. As I say, it sounds like he's pitching against a dessert. But you know, and the Rockies have trouble, you know, with lefties. They're 6-24. The Giants got a much-needed win, 26 to go. The lineup today is Blanco, Tomlinson, Duffy, Posey, Bird, Belt, Crawford, Perez, and Bumgarner. So I'm surprised Noonan's not in there today and no Diaz today, but against the lefty, they're not going to do that. But, all right, so you got the Giants today, then it's off to Arizona. The Dodgers get the Angels this week in Anaheim, and Garrett Richards will be in there, but I'm sure it's Greinke and Kershaw setting up against the Angels. You get the Mets and Washington, and Harvey starts it tomorrow for the Mets. Can you imagine circus? Can you imagine what's going on? Bill Madden was on with us today, and you know, and he's got Blue Jays and Yankees at the end of the week. You've got Pirates, Cardinals tonight. This is good. This is a good time for baseball. This is pretty good.
No, it's really good. I mean, as far as the Giants go, let's just say that for some reason they get back in this, they're going to point to yesterday. I mean, they got Noonan at first. Diaz is hitting cleanup. Aoki, it turns out he's got post-concussion syndrome. Belt gets sick. Sanchez pulls up lame. They got to bring Posey into the game. It was just comical. It reached a comical stage where you figure they're going to lose 17-0. But, you know, they pull it out. Now, they got Bumgarner. I mean, if you're thinking optimistically, yesterday was a heck of a game.
Yes, I know. Believe me, I'm thinking optimistically, and it was. And, you know, I always say with Peavy, you can set your dinner reservation by the sixth inning. Say, look, I want to have dinner tonight after the home run in the sixth inning.
After the Arenado homer.
Right. After the home run in the sixth inning, let's eat dinner. And you could say that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and invariably it happens. You saw it down there, and there it was last night. It really, isn't it amazing?
Yeah, and then you can have a dessert named after the Colorado pitcher. It's
exactly.
Perfect.
You have a home run by Arenado in the sixth, and then have Flonde by the ninth inning.
it's a great week. That whole Mets thing, I wish I'd heard Billy Madden. He's a long, long-time friend of mine, talking about that whole Mets circus. And, you know, I heard Keith Hernandez on the air yesterday saying that if this guy doesn't want to pitch and he's being curtailed, that could really disrupt things, because just like it did in Washington. I mean, in the locker room, everybody's got to be thinking the same thing. We'll do anything to make this team win. We'll play hurt. We're going to give everything we possibly have to win this and get in the playoffs. That's got to be the attitude in the clubhouse. And if one guy, especially a mainstay, is like, well, I don't know, you know, Scott Boras wants me to do this, you know, and they can't have that.
Well, he scares the guy because he said, look, no one has gone from zero innings to 200. You know, and then he says no one is
Bob Feller.
Yeah, right. No one has ramped up the amount of innings like you're being asked to do. after Tommy John. And if they have done anything like that, they've had serious problems. And other than everyone has except for Sean Markham. You know, you go back to, you know, Medlin and a couple of others. So I think he scared the kid. I honestly think
no doubt.
Yeah, I think they've scared him because, look, this is the Dark Knight. He can't wait to take the, in New York City. Are you kidding me? You know, and both teams could be in the playoffs. I mean, this is the media capital of the world. And I just, and I asked Bill, I said at the end, I said, Bill, what's going to happen? And he says, there's no way this kid is not going to pitch.
Right.
He says, now, he may pitch through the division series, but believe me, he's going to go the rest of the way, and that's what's going to happen. And I think in New York, I mean, it'd be Steve Bartman. I mean, Matt Harvey would have to leave. He'd have to get a whole new identity.
If that's really the way he feels, you got to get him out of there. I'd get him out. If he wanted to shut himself down right now, I'd just say, just pack your bags, you know, clear out your locker. We can't look at you.
Boy, what isn't baseball interesting? I mean, really, you know, with the agents coming and getting involved. And someone said to me the other day, why are there so many injuries? I said, well, agents are now involved with the trainers and with the owners and with the general managers. And they kind of say, look, my guy is, you know, is hurt. You got to put him on the disabled list. It's a whole different dynamic that the general manager has to deal with.
Yeah, I think players going on the disabled list happens a lot more frequently than it did in years past. You know, when guys would play with play through significant injuries. You know, and I guess they had obliques. Nobody ever heard of them, but that's had to be part of the body somewhere. But yeah, it's very complicated. And you know, with people coming back after a Tommy John or having a second Tommy John, and you know, caution is the rule, and it should be. But then you get the contrast of a team coming into something that they really need to do, just like the Washington needed to do with Strasburg and the Mets. They need to finish this. They've been down for a long time. A lot of people in that organization, you know, need this to happen, or certainly give it all their best shot along the way.
Yeah. Boy, interesting story. The Mets, by the way, Matz is pitching today, who could be a key part of what's going to happen. It's 1-1 in the middle of the fourth. He's given up a couple of hits to the Marlins, but 1-1. Tommy John, after he had Tommy John surgery, pitched 208 innings, but of course it was a different game then. He was a lefty. He threw differently. But even
he still threw the ball, though.
Tommy John.
Yeah. He, it's just, the thing is, you just don't know. That's the whole thing. You don't know what's going to happen. And because of that, for my money, you have to at least try. If you feel a twinge, or you're looking at the guy and he doesn't want to throw a pitch, he's walking around behind the mound or he's lifting up his arm, you know, get him out of there. Maybe he's trying to pitch through something that wouldn't be healthy for him. But if a guy's ready to go and game like Harvey has been so many times, that'll be really. He's going tomorrow night, you say?
That's what Bill said. He opens up the series tomorrow night in Washington.
Yeah, that's huge. That'll tell a lot right there. Because if he wins that game with a strong 6-7 innings or whatever, what, are you going to shut him down now? Because this magic number of 180, you just have to laugh at that.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do. That's so comical. It's like 100 pitches is the cutoff.
I'm glad we could touch on it because, we're all baseball fans and we get to watch it during the week and see what happens. Did you see Bartolo Colon's fielding play last night? Come on. It looked like Bob Cousy. It looked like Steph Curry.
Yeah. God, just white. He's not white chocolate. He's a Dominican chocolate. Like Jason Williams used to pull all those moves. They called him white chocolate.
He looks like Mrs. C's candy. I mean, come on. He flipped it behind his back at full speed. And the runner was past him, and he got the ball to the first baseman, who started laughing.
You know what that play told you? It explained a little bit about why this guy's still pitching.
Yeah.
I mean, he's enormous. You know, he looks like he should be running the food stand somewhere. And he's a great athlete. He went 9 yesterday. I mean, there's a fabulous Mets story. You know, to contrast with this whole indecision about Harvey. I mean, Colon just goes out there. He's 100 years old. He's got a huge waist. He weighs about a 50 pants, and just going out there, just dealing. And he is a good athlete. He's done some hitting too. He doesn't look very good, but he gets some things done up there.
Amazing, really. He's the oldest Met to throw a complete game since Warren Spahn, 44 years old. Warren Spahn threw five in 1965, and then they took him out of the rotation. He said, I want out of here, and I think that's when he ended up a Giant.
Yeah, that's he should never have left the Braves. He should have finished off with them. But
how about the Braves? How about what they're – I don't know if you've noticed, but the Braves have lost 11 in a row.
Yeah.
The last time they lost 12 in a row as a franchise, Casey Stengel was a manager in 1942. And this is one of those
Boston
examples,
Braves.
You know, trade everybody, we're going to redo it, and boy, they hit rock bottom.
Yeah, San Diego, too. They traded well, they actually brought a lot of people in, but it didn't work so well. But, yeah, the Braves' collapse is pretty discouraging. The only reason I'm even watching their box scores now is that they traded for Hector Oliveira, the Cuban guy.
How's he 30-year-old doing?
Well, he's gotten a few hits, nothing real splashy, but he's playing third base for them. He was a huge big-money signing by the Dodgers, you know, $62 million. For 5 years, I think, and big signing bonus, and all of a sudden he's gone in that trade that they got him, Alex Wood and Peraza, great deal for the Dodgers. So I'm just wondering if Oliveira is really going to be a player, or maybe, you know, at this rate, I don't think the Dodgers are going to miss him.
Well, John Hart is the general manager, is he not? I think he went back to be the GM, and Schuerholz kind of is out of the picture to some degree. But I never was impressed with John Hart when he was on MLB TV. You know,
he did some good work in Cleveland, though.
Yeah, but that, you know, but honestly, and I don't know. They put guys like that on TV. They give opinions, and I said he's running this whole thing.
Yeah,
and he got rid of everybody, and now the team is on the verge of being the worst in franchise history. I'm not so sure about him.
Well, yeah, this hasn't worked out at all. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that the Giants were playing them in the playoffs, and they were really tough, and they had everything going for them, but now they seem to have nothing.
What do you think about Schilling getting knocked out of ESPN on the broadcast? And Jessica Mendoza, Bruce, I don't know if you know her, but from Stanford, she's now on there, and Ann wrote a nice story about her and has gotten good reviews. Have you heard her at all?
Yeah, if she hadn't written it, and she was the person to do it, I would have done it, because I don't know her personally, but I knew she's one of the best hitters in the world. if you're a great fast pitch softball hitter, you're a hell of a hitter. And she played at Stanford, played in the Olympics, tremendous athlete. And I didn't know that she had a broadcasting career. It kind of took me by surprise to see her on that telecast, but she was really, really good. I mean, Schilling kind of hung himself with some very unfortunate comments that had nothing to do with baseball. And he was okay. But Jessica Mendoza is a real breath of fresh air. She really knows the game. She loves to dissect pitchers, you know, with their rhythm, their command, their arm slot, you know, getting the hitters off balance and all the things that go into pitching. And, of course, she knows hitting as well. But then she also doesn't try to just, you know, dominate the telecast. She's got good timing, you know, out of nowhere, really. She came in top form, and now she's going to be on the Sunday night telecast the rest of the year. So we can all, you know, get a taste of what she's doing. But it's a great move, and
I like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Kruk's pretty good, but, you know, you got to straighten him up, so to speak. and if she talks, you know, look, let's talk some baseball, you know, he can't be, you know, throwing bubbles around in the shower. You know what I mean?
Well, I do, actually.
You can't be in the locker room, the frat boy stuff, as Ann called it. He's got to talk some ball, and he's pretty smart.
Yeah, well, he was quoted in the New York Times just raving about Jessica Mendoza and how much he knows. And he's thrilled about her. I don't think he misses Schilling at all either.
Yeah, boy, Schilling, you know, it's so funny. I guess people just feel, because they have a forum, that they can say whatever they want. We've seen it locally here, and you know, I call it leaving your comfort zone.
Yeah,
you know, it's what you talk, what you know about, at least what you think about.
I definitely try to live by that for sure.
Yeah, in your field. Well, boy, the injuries to the Giants, isn't it amazing? And as I say, maybe this part of the schedule, it's not the Pirates, Cardinals, Mets, Dodgers. It's the Diamondbacks, it's the Rockies, it's the Padres, the Reds. Maybe they can get away with it if they pitch. Maybe they can chop those four games off the Dodger lead if they pitch, because they may have enough offense to do it. I still think they have to pitch.
Yeah, well, they just got to get out of Colorado, because nothing ever makes sense there. After today, we can really take a more realistic look at where they're at. But, yeah, you can't rule them out. You can't do it. Yesterday said everything you need to know about that. but it's, you know, at the same time, it's really tough. The Dodgers are look real good. They're playing great without Puig. They got Seager up now. Alex Wood pitched a great game yesterday, didn't give up any runs. And the Cubs are just steamrolling again. So I don't know. To me, it's not going to happen. But I'd sure like to see them at least make it interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Just get as I say. Look, it's you've got 26 to go. When you get the Dodgers series, you'll have 7 to go. So you got 19 games to pick up 4.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 8 back
it's
now.
It's been done many,
yeah.
many times.
Right.
Many
but
times.
It can be done. I mean, it's not even it's a miracle. I mean, you know, you can do that. It's very doable. And then if you picked up 5, you really could make it interesting. And so we'll see. But, you know, the thing about the Giants, we said last night, they have to win games. And that's
well, they do.
Yeah. That's the toughest part of being in the major leagues. You got to win. And
I wish if they could get Pence back, that would make a huge difference. I don't know. It doesn't sound very good. It hasn't sounded good for a while. He takes such a violent swing, and he's not taking them now. But even these softer swings he's taken, he's just not there. He can't afford to really let loose. And I mean, this guy is valuable beyond words. He's one of the most valuable players in either league.
Yeah, he's turned into it.
Spiritually and performance-wise. You know, Pence. You know.
Yeah, he's turned into that. Sanchez, unfortunately, you know, Bruce, in sports, I guess you've been around so many different sports. Some people remember the center from Kentucky, never could play, or Greg Oden, he could never play.
Yeah.
Some people just get hurt all the time. This Hector Sanchez, I don't care what he does, he's going to get hurt.
He's running over first base, for heaven's sake. That should be, you know, an automatic thing.
Yeah.
That's really true. I mean, when last year when he was catching, it seemed like every foul tip, you know, caught him in the wrong place or clobbered him in the head or something. And he seems to attract a disaster. But
yeah.
And Pence has always been the opposite. You know, and all of a sudden the friggin' oblique strikes in with him, and that's just shy of tearing your ACL or something. That's about as bad an injury as he could have.
Yeah, for him. And Sam Bowie, that's the guy's thing.
Sam Bowie, yeah.
Yeah, he never played. And, you know, Sanchez is in there. You know, they have some issues at backup catcher now.
Yeah, they really do. They got to get somebody up there.
Jackson Williams is up, but, you know, it's like bringing Hobie Landreth back or something like that, you know.
At his age now, maybe he could come in.
Right, and, you know, Hobie's 84, but...
Dutch Dotterer, I think, is available.
How about his son, Mike Dotterer? How about him?
God.
Dutch Dotterer was a very nice outfielder for the Cincinnati Reds, Washington Senators, right?
He was a catcher.
Was he a catcher?
Pretty sure.
Oh, you're right. All right. I remember the name. I could see the baseball card.
Marty, if I got you there, it might be a first.
I think you did.
Outside of Solihemus, of course.
I think I want to tell you, I think you did. You know, we had I did one of my old baseball history shows today, and my voice sounded really different, but it was about Hank Sauer. Did you know Hank Sauer?
I saw him many, many times in the media lounges over the years. I mean, you know, we weren't close or anything, but we recognized each other and had a few chats.
Yeah, he was a great hitting coach. Jack Clark raved about him, but he hit 3 homers in a game twice, and he did it off the same pitcher both times, Kurt Simmons.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but I wanted to bring some of those back on Sunday. I like to bring some of those back out of the archives to hear the names.
Hank also had one of the great bulbous noses of our time.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great to have you on today. What's on your agenda today?
Well, I'm down here in Half Moon Bay. We have an annual little outrigger party at near the yacht club, the little beach down there. Everybody goes down there and gets on kayaks or stand-up paddle boards or boats and hot dogs and hamburgers and kids. And
wow.
Should be a real blast and come back and watch the Giants on tape.
Very good. Well, enjoy it, Bruce. Thanks again, and we'll look forward to talking to you next weekend.
You bet, Marty.
All right. That was Bruce. Did he get me on Dutch Dotterer? I guess I got to look it up. I thought he was an outfielder for the Reds and Washington. Rookie of the Year candidate 1 year. All right. This is a good test for me here on this Sunday. All right.